John chapter 21 to start with. I know this is still hard to see for everybody, but you may have maps in the back of your Bible as well. If you do, you can look at that. Let's start off with John chapter 21. I'm going there for just a quick purpose here, just to get started here. Because what's getting ready to happen in Acts chapter 16 is Paul has starting his second missionary journey. And as he starts his second missionary journey, what he's going to do is he is going to go back through some churches that are already established. So it's not that he's going into new ground and trying to establish a church, trying to lead people to the Lord. There are churches there that he's already got established, and he's going back for the purpose of going in there and trying to help establish those churches and getting them fixed. And I don't know if, as he decided to go back to them churches, I don't know what Paul was expecting. But I know that when he first got started, it was about the Lord told him he just might as well expect some trouble. And as he's sitting there trying to lead people to the Lord, he's sitting there trying to do things the right way, there's a lot of opposition, a lot of conflict, all that stuff that's going on, and he had to deal with all that. So I don't know, after the churches got established, if he was going back and thinking, man, now the church is established, I ain't going to have no problems. It's going to be good. I don't know if that's what he was thinking or not, but he quickly found out that churches has got as many problems as trying to get there and lead people to the Lord, because you're dealing with people. And there's a saying that says, winners focus on winning. Losers focus on, you'd think, losing, but that's not what it is. Winners focus on winning, losers focus on winners. And they watch and they want to point out everything that they do bad. They're envious or they're jealous or all those things that can go on. And there's always something negative that they can point out, always something that somebody could have done better, or if they were there, they'd have done it a different way. And the fact is that until they change that attitude and start deciding, I'm going to deal with what I can deal with, I'm going to worry about me, I'm going to stay in my lane, I'm going to do what I can do, then they're never going to be a winner. Because they're always focused on somebody else, waiting for somebody to do something for them and to take care of them. And they'll get frustrated at times. I know, I remember up here in this junior pro basketball league, they had a thing where kids, if you got a 20-point lead, they'd turn the scoreboard off because they didn't want to make the kids feel bad because they're getting beat by 20 points. And so they said, oh, we need to turn the scoreboard off, you know, like that's going to help kids. And it didn't. You said what it was. And then they started trying, the teams that were good was, let's see how fast we can get the scoreboard turned off. Like they didn't understand what was going on. You say, what is that? That's people for you. That's people for you. And the people that's losing, you know what they want to do? They want to gripe and complain about the winners and what the winners are doing wrong and how they act and come up with all these different reasons of why they're getting ahead or any of that stuff. And the deal is, the reason they got ahead is because they focused on winning and they made themselves better. Losers focus on winners. That's why they stay losers. It's also said this right here: winners find solutions for every problem. Losers find problems for every solution. And if you come up, there's a problem there, winners start saying, hey, we could do this, we could do this, we could do this. And once the losers are, wow, we can't do that. No, we can't. There'll be a problem with that right there. Oh, there'll be a problem with that right there. And you say, what is it? That's just attitude. That's just the way it is. And it's the same way in churches at times. It's the same way in sports. It's the same way in at your job. It's the same way in schools. It's the same way in government and politics. No matter where you're at, that's the way it is. People that are going to succeed, people that are going to get ahead, people that are going to do things the right way, are people that's going to be focused on, here's the problem, here's what I need to do. This week, I listened to a guy for about 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes on how to sow grass and get your grass to grow in a, if you just cleared land and all that stuff. And you say, why did you do that? Because he's done it before. And I wanted the grass to grow, so I didn't just listen to a bunch of yahoos that's never, ever had grass grow, or you can't get grass to grow here, you can't do this, you can't do that, I wouldn't do it like this right here, and this person right here did it wrong. You know what I did? I went to somebody that's grown grass before. You say, why? Because he's succeeded at something. And if a church is going to succeed, that's what they have to do. And the reason I'm getting to this point right here is because this is what Paul's going to face as soon as he gets on the trail. He starts realizing there's two types of people in churches. One, some people are go-getters. They're, what do we got to do? What have I got to sacrifice? What have I got to do? How's it got to work? What do I need to happen? What do you need of me? How can I help you? That type of thing. And the other people are going to step back and talk about how the other people are doing it or not doing it. When you go street preaching, you're going to constantly have people that's going to tell you there's a better way of doing it, although they're not doing anything. Although they don't come up to you and say, how long have you been doing this? They don't come up to you and say, do you have any fruit from this type of ministry right here? They don't come up to you and say, how's everything been going? Have you led anybody to the Lord? Are you getting the Word of God out? They come up to you automatically expecting to tell you that you're doing it wrong. You say, why? Because they're losers. That's why. And they're not ever going to do something. You say, losers? Brother Jack, that is so mean. No, it's not mean. It's just a fact. Some people are winners and some people are losers. God's not a respecter of persons. He's not. We're not Calvinists. He's not, well, these people are going to succeed at soul winning and these people are not going to succeed at soul winning. You say, what do you got to do? The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Number one, you got. He said, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. You say, what is it? It's called a law of sowing and reaping. That's just the way it is. The more grass seed you throw down, the more grass you're going to get. That's just the way it works. And at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to see that the people that have taken the Word of God, face value, 52 cards, face up, and said, you know what? I'm just going to follow the Word of God. When they get to the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to work out for them. You say, why? Because they followed the game plan. They followed what it was. And they didn't spend their life on social media or Facebook talking about other churches or talking about how they did wrong or talking about how they're doing this. And these people down here, they just look at the people that's got money or they're just helping the people. The people that make money get to make the rules. All those things that you hear all your life. That's just what it is. What does the losers do? They focus on people that's winning. That's what they do. So it works in sports. It works in work. It works in your family. You know what a man's got to do? He's got to stay in his lane and he's got to say, this is what I've got to do to make it work. The lady's got to say, this is what I got to do to make it work. I want a good home. Then what do you got to do, ladies? Go to the Word of God and find out what it is. You say, well, what if it ain't working? Then you keep praying and you keep doing it, expecting it to bring and yield fruit later. And you just stay with it. You trust it. What does a man do? He trusts what God said to do. You stay with it. You get your wife by the hand and say, let's pray. I want you to pray out loud. I'm going to pray out loud. Let's pray together. Let's sit down and pray together. When you're having problems, instead of, oh, this is what I think and that's what you think, just stop and say, listen, let's pray about this. You pray and then I'll pray. Or I'll pray and then you pray. And you sit down and you confess your sin and you confess it. God, I want to have a good marriage. Lord, you've given me a good wife. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And I'm messing this thing up, God. We're having problems and I need her. She sits there and listens to you pour your heart out. You know what happens? It changes her heart. You go first, man. It works better that way. She got a whole different attitude when she prays. When you get there and confess it, then she's softer. Then she sits down and realizes, oh, man, I'm a mess too. You say, what are you talking about? What I'm saying is follow the blueprint. Follow the Word of God. And so Paul's getting ready to get in this thing. And when he gets there, he's getting ready to see there's some problems. And the problem is some people's ready to roll and some people ain't. Here in John chapter 20, it says this. look down in verse 18. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. So he's talking to Peter. And it says, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And that's what he had said. Verse 21. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Peter ain't worried about Peter. What's he worried about? He worried about John. He's sitting there looking at this thing, and all this stuff's going on, and Peter's sitting there looking at the Lord. Lord, what's this guy going to do? What are we going to do with this guy right here? What's this guy need to do for you? Look what he says. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. You know what the Lord is saying to Peter? Don't matter what anybody else is doing. Don't matter who else street preaching, who ain't else street preaching. It don't matter who's on visitation, who ain't on visitation. Don't matter who's in the nursery, who ain't in the nursery. Don't matter who's Sunday school teacher or not Sunday school teacher. You don't worry about all that stuff. What do you worry about? You worry about yourself. And here in Acts chapter 16, amen, Brother Jack, that's good preaching. Acts chapter 16, look what he gets into here. Let's read the first four verses. So he's headed back on his mission trip here, and instead of going to Cyprus where they started at, he goes to the back route up to Derbe and Lystra and Iconium, so which is up here. So instead of going here and going back the same way they came the first time, that's where Barnabas and John Mark go. They go here. So he goes here, and he starts here and heads to Tarsus. And then to Tarsus they go, or not Tarsus, I mean to Derbe, and then Lystra, then Iconium, and then to Antioch and Pisidia. And he goes around this backside and ends up going all the way up through here. Over here we're going to try to get to all the way over here to Macedonia tonight. And he goes the backside there and takes off that way. And he comes there to Derbe. Look at what it says, verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. So he's giving you a backstory right now about what's going on. He finds a guy here that's ready to do something for the Lord, Timothy. And everybody needs a Timothy. He says, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. All right, so there's a problem right there. Look at verse 2, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. So what do you see right off the bat? So he goes into Derbe. As soon as he gets there, there's a young man that's what? He's ready to roll. He's ready to do something for the Lord. He's ready to do something for God. And he does something for the Lord all the way through the rest of his life, or at least through the Pauline epistles here. You see Timothy going through there, and you know what he's doing? He's working, and he's staying with Paul, and he's learning, he's leading people to the Lord, and he's getting over top of, he's being over churches, and he's Paul's telling him he's teaching elders, and he's telling them how to treat those elders, and he's telling him how to keep working for the Lord. But at the same time, the fact that he's got a Greek mom and a Jew for a dad, then what it looks like there, it says a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father, so she's a Jewess and her father was a Greek. And that's what you got right there. You say, what is that? It's a mixed marriage. And so what's people going to do? They're going to talk about it. They're sitting there just talking. It says, well reported of by the brethren. You know what they're doing? They're talking. They're on social media. They're on there saying, well, did you know this right here? Well, I mean, I guess he's a good preacher, but you know what? This is what I heard, and this is what I heard, and he's out there living for the Lord, preaching on the street, and he's doing right, and he's leading people to the Lord and doing all the things that a preacher's supposed to be doing, but what's happening to him? People behind the back talking about him. You say, why? Because that's people. And as a church member, what we do is we can look at this thing right here, and we can say, which one do I want to be? Do I want to be the person that's always griping or always complaining or think it should be done this way or think it should be done that way? Or am I the guy that's saying, what do you want me to do? How can I help? What do you want me to pick up? What end of the rope do you want me to hold? What can I do for you? How can I help you? What do you need? You need anything? Is there anything I can do for you? Oh, we got this going on. What do you mean me to do? That's the guy that Timothy was. Timothy said, you know what? I'm just going to do something for the Lord. And when you got a church, you got people like that. And you've always got people that what? People that's going to sit back and they're going to be talking about what everything else is going on in people's lives. You know what? It's none of their business. As long as it ain't changing something up, it's none of their business. It's none of my business how people's living at their house. Why would I be out on social media talking about how this person's living at their house or how that person's living at their house? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to preach this Bible. And if a hair lips ever cow in Texas, I'm sorry, but I'm going to preach the Bible. But when I come down out of the pulpit and I'm sitting, I'm a man just like anybody. I got problems like anybody else. Anybody wants to follow me around all day long, they ain't going to be with me no time before they go, oh, good night, I thought that guy was a preacher. Golly. You say, are you that bad, Jack? I don't know. Are you that good? I'm just saying, if you knew what goes through my head in a day, you wouldn't be listening to me and I wouldn't be talking to you. I thank God that people can't read people's minds. I'm glad that they can't. I got enough problems I need to deal with when I'm out of this pulpit and I'm down there just like everybody else going to work every day. It's easy to get frustrated. It's easy to get aggravated. It's easy to lose your temper. It's easy to get mad at people. It's easy to evil surmise, think somebody's talking about you when they ain't talking about you, wonder about what's going on here and wonder why this ain't happening. It's like anybody else. I got done wrong here. Somebody cut me off in traffic. Everybody's going through the same stuff. Why in the world would I worry about somebody else when I got so much of my own to deal with? But yet, you know what? You get around people long enough, you know what you start finding out? That's what they're worried about. They're worried about everybody else, what everybody else is doing. So we can be one or two people here. And what I want to be is I want to be a Timothy. I want to be somebody that's willing to do whatever it takes to make this church succeed like it should succeed as a New Testament local church. What do I need to do? You know, people's like, I'm willing to run a bus ministry. I'm willing to teach a Sunday school class. I'm willing to teach at church camp. Or I'm willing, whatever, vacation Bible school. Or I'm going to help out in the nursery. Or I'm going to help, whatever it is. Whatever it is. You know what we got to have? We got to have people that's willing to work. And you can be one of two people. You can be the ones that work, or you can be the ones that talk about those that work. And it says there in verse 2, which was well. He don't even say it was reported of. He says it was well reported of. That means they went on and brought it up. And well, that's just like so-and-so 15 years ago. You remember what he did? No. There's a lot of people who don't know what he did 15 years ago. And if we would be quiet, nobody would have to ever worry about it again. That's the way it works. You say, what do you need? Just need to just do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just get busy doing something for God. And that's where it is. And everybody, Paul, you know what he found right here? He found the first Timothy. You hear people all the time say, preachers, man, people that do something for the Lord's always got young men around them that's trying to do something for God as well. They just attract young men. That's just the way it works. And young men get called to preach around people like that right there. And you see people like when I was... back 30 years ago, first getting in, I was getting hooked up with Gary Boyd. You know where I went? We went across Cherry Fork on visitation, door after door after door. We went up in Oneida. We went to apartments up there, door after door after door. I'd get up there and I'd hang out with him. I'd go on the street corner with him. I'd hang out anywhere I could be. I had the blessing of working with him. You know what I did? I'd go ask him questions. You know what? He had a Timothy. He had somebody that was saying, what do I need to do? How do I need to do this? You know, the first time I ever went street preaching, you know who gave me the Bible verses to memorize, to when I got on the street, that I could preach the gospel? Gary Boyd. I sat down at work and he gave me, I had a little red New Testament. Opened it up and I just wrote down all these different verses that he had given me and said, memorize those right there. And then we were going to red lights. He said, that'll be plenty enough for you that you'll be able to street preach. You know what you need? You need to have some young people that's following you spiritually. Are you helping anybody younger than you? Are you helping anybody that's younger than you in the Lord and saying, this is the way you do it? I mean, I'm sitting here now, it's just hard. It is hard for me to understand or to even believe until I look in the mirror that I'm 55 years old. On the inside, I'm still 25, but on the outside, I'm 75. That's why I averages out at 55, Dustin. That's the way it works. And so you say, what? My point is, at 55 now, I'm sitting here trying to think of some young men thinking, man, I need to be affecting some people instead of trying to continue to be affected. I look, you know, here my wife is now. She's affecting young people. She's up here with a bunch of other ladies as well, and they're teaching them these songs, and they're doing stuff like that right there, and she is passing that on. But you know what? There was a time when she was in class, and you had Roy and Juanita that was her Sunday school teachers. And you know what they did? They got her hooked up on doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. They had her doing something. She grew up doing what? Looking at somebody else and learning from somebody else. They wasn't worried about what everybody else was doing. They were taking their class. They were learning their class. They were doing their things. And they were teaching their kids. So why? So those could take and grow up and then pass it on to some other young people. And here's what you got out here. You got young people here. You got some young men. We got young men in this church right now. That's just a bunch of young men. There's a bunch coming on Thursday nights right now, seven or eight of them, that's praying on or Wednesday nights after church. They were doing it some on Thursday nights. They're doing it some on Monday nights. People didn't know about it. You say, what is it? Young men that's just what? Just praying and praying for the Holy Spirit to do something at this church, asking God to do something in their lives, trying to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, it's good. It's good that young men are doing things. You got Ben Cross, Joshua Butts, you got Jonathan Story, I mean, Andrew Atkins, I've seen JD, and I've seen Reed Fancher, and I've seen all by another. I mean, I'm going to leave some people out, but the point is, there's more than that. That's what? Just young men that are wanting to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Young women that's standing up here singing and doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need to be doing. That's how we're supposed to be affecting people. Taking what God's given, the gifts that God's given us, and passing them on. And that's what I'm wanting to show you right here at the start of his second missionary journey is this, is that there are churches that he's got a church here, and it's one of two things. We're either going to be a blessing or we're going to be a burden. One or the other. And I do not want to be a burden. I don't want to be the one that's always griping and always complaining that people hate to see me coming, or I've always got a problem with this, or I always got a problem with that. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be one of these wishy-washy, noodle-back liberals that's on some college campuses right now, like these idiots running around these anti-Israel protests. It's terrible. It's terrible. I mean, you know, have you ever sat down, have you ever thought to wonder how many of those anti-Israel protests you see at TCAT? You don't. You know why? Because those guys are going to a different school. They ain't in a college with a college professor changing their brains and mixing their brains up. You know what they're doing? They're going to learn a trade. You don't see those kind of protests going on at these vocational schools. I just think that's kind of funny. When I sit there and look at it, I think, man, that don't happen on those kind of campuses. It happens on these liberal campuses. That's where it happens at. Where the campuses where you're actually learning something to do and you're going to go to work, I'm not that you don't learn it at colleges. I got to make sure I get that out there. I understand there's a lot of people who got college degrees and you did the right way and you got real jobs. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you ain't out there protesting and being anti-Israel, all right? Anyway, good night, Jack. Where are you going? Verse, I'm melting. All right. Verse, amen, brother. Amen. Thank you. All right. Look at verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained to the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. So still they're going back to these churches now. Look back at Acts chapter 15, verse 7 and 8. Acts 15, 7 and 8. This is what they're delivering. This is what they got here. Remember last week, they was talking about in Acts chapter 15, 7. What were they deciding? They were deciding this. How does a person get saved? And it's by grace through faith. Not of works. There's no baptism involved. Verse 7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Verse 8. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. So right there, that's what you get right there, and that's what he's going out, and he's giving them. So what is it right there? Look down at into verse 7. What is he giving them? It says, the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe, and God which heareth the heart, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost. So what is it? You hear, you believe, and you get the Holy Ghost. That's just the way it works. Nothing else, no works added, nothing else given to it. That's just the way it is. It's hear, it's believe, and it's get the Holy Spirit. Go to Romans chapter 3. Paul gets to Rome. He's preached, he's wrote all these books through here. And all these books, you know what he does? He gives the same thing. You hear, you believe, and you receive. That's just the way it is. The law ain't got anything to do with it. Romans 3. Look at verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. So now it's given without the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Verse 22. What's he talking about? Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. And so what's he saying right there? He's saying you've got to be as righteous as God to get to heaven. How do you become righteous? God gives it to you. How do you get it? By faith. That's what it is. Look at Romans 4:24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. That's Romans 4:24. If what? If we believe. Look at Romans, go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what is it? It's just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, so it's hearing it, believing it, and receiving it. And Paul, what's he doing? Is he's going to the world. Why? Look at verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You say, what is it? It is hearing, believing, and receiving the Holy Ghost. That's simple. Look at Romans 11 over there. Look at Romans 11, 6. He says, if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You can't mix them up. It's either work or grace. And you know what God said? He said, it's going to be grace. Paul said, all right. Peter said, all right. And so Paul started going across the top up there on this missionary journey. And you know what he's doing? He's giving that to all the churches. And he's saying, listen, it's by salvation, by grace through faith. Ain't got anything to do with baptism. Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We preached this last week, but just to show you everywhere he's going. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 16. He says, and I baptized also the house of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Look at verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. You say, what is it? It's preach the gospel. Hear, believe, and receive. It ain't got anything to do with baptism, regardless of every church of Christ in Scott County thinks that baptism got something to do with it. Paul said, I wasn't even sent to baptize anybody. I can't remember who I baptized. Does that sound like somebody that's interested that believes that baptismal water up there is going to do anything for you? Paul didn't. I mean, a Church of Christ elder may think it, but the Apostle Paul didn't. And he's the one that was giving the decrees to the churches on what the apostles decided. We won't turn all over, but in Galatians chapter 1, 7, Galatians 2, 11 through 16, Ephesians 1, 13, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Everywhere Paul went, you know what he said? It's salvation by grace through faith. No works, not the law, not baptism, not anything else. We preach, if you believe it, you get saved. That's what it takes. Colossians 1, 4, he says it's by faith. Philippians 1, 29, it's by faith. 1 Thessalonians, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's connected to what? It's connected to the Word of God. That's what he's preaching, the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And there's no way we'll get through this whole chapter, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible says this, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard, see there, you hear it, which you heard of us, you received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. It's believing. It's believing the word of God. It's connected to the Scriptures. Look at 2 Timothy. Go to your right a couple of them. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. What's going to help you get saved is the Word of God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 15. He's talking to Timothy, and remember his mom was a Jewess, and you can go over there in 2 Timothy 1, talks about how much they were in the Scriptures, her and his grandmother, Lois. So verse 15, it says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Look back at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. You say, what is this? It's the same. It's hearing, it's believing, and it's receiving the Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Verse 16. "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter what? Believe on Him to life everlasting." You say, what is it? It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all it is. It is you believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He came, He died, was buried, and rose again the third day. And the reason I go through all that right there is because I just want you to understand that as Paul is preaching the gospel to these churches, and he's establishing churches now, and he's trying to get them set on how to get this church going, how to be established in faith and doctrine, he's going through there and he's saying this right here. This is the gospel. Don't let anybody pervert it. Galatians chapter 1, he said there were some people that were perverting the gospel. And when you look at Galatians chapter 1, you know what that was? They were adding works to it. They were adding works to it. They were perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is what? It's just believing on the Lord Jesus. You believe, Jack, that you can tell somebody that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. You believe that, and you believe that if they believe that and ask Jesus Christ to save them, you think they're saved. I do. I don't know what else. I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to tell them. How else? I don't know about all this other stuff about, well, I just think, you know, I just think that there's got to be some kind of something there, you know. I mean, I just don't, it's ABC, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. Listen, I've been in this thing for 30 years, and I have watched people on the street lead people to the Lord over and over and over. I've been in houses. I've watched other people lead people to the Lord. I've been in churches, and I have never in my life one time watch somebody say, just repeat after me and you'll be saved. They've always went through the scriptures with them. They've always got them to the point of saying, listen, either you believe this or you don't. And get them to the point to where they believe the gospel. And once they say, I believe the gospel, and they say, I want to be saved, then someone tells them, well, all you have to do is believe. All you have to do is receive it. All you have to do is ask Jesus, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you see that thing click with them. And you know what they want to do? They want to get saved. And then what do? They bow their head and ask Jesus Christ to save them. You say, is that all it is? Yeah, it's all it is. That's all it is. And I don't care if the Church of Christ get mad. I don't care if Catholics get mad. I don't care if Jehovah's Witnesses get mad, Mormons get mad, or Muslims or Buddhists or anybody else get mad. You know what? It's just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. That's it. No water, no works, no sprinkling, no living it after you get it, no losing it, none of that stuff. It is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ to get saved, and that alone, and when you get to heaven, that right there is what's going to get you there. And if someone ever says, "What? How do you know you're saved?" Brother Jack, I'm going to say, because that Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I did that. And if that didn't get me saved, then God's a liar, and God ain't no liar. My faith is based on this book right here. And that's what I've got on. It's on the Word of God. Just like 1 Thessalonians 2:13 and 2 Timothy 3:15, these words right here can make you wise unto salvation. And that's what you need to use when you're leading somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Word of God. If you don't have a Bible, then you need to have it memorized. There ain't nothing special about these pages or this print or any of that stuff right there. The Word of God is alive. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How can the Bible, how can the Word of God be a discerner of thoughts? It has to be alive. This Word is alive. It knows what's going on. It reads you. When you're reading it, it's reading you, and it's telling you what to do. There's no other way to be saved other than believing the gospel of Jesus Christ and believing that He died and was buried and rose again and asking Him to save you. That's the only way that you can be saved. Now, turn back over to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And we're going to, next week we'll finish up this chapter right here and go through. But you're going to see once he starts getting back into preaching the gospel, what's going to happen is he's going to get back into going into every town. And what's going to happen is it's going to be the same thing. He's going to preach the word of God. Some of them's going to believe. Some of them ain't going to believe. That's just the way it is. You say, well, what are you supposed to do if they don't believe, Brother Jack? Ain't nothing you can do. Regardless of what people try to accuse us of, we can't talk somebody into being saved. That's between them and the Lord. We can show them. We can tell them. We can show them in Scripture. We can pray for them. We can pray with them. But that's a decision they have to make. They have to get there to that spot. Paul gets there. Some of them's going to believe. Some of them ain't. The reason some of them ain't is because they got money involved in it. And you'll see that next week when we get down there. And they're over there in Macedonia and they're in Philippi and they're sitting there and they're preaching the Word of God. And some demon-possessed woman gets saved. And then the people that's sitting there, they realize, man, we're making money off her. We ain't going to be making money off of her no more. You know what they do? They lie on him and get him put in jail. You know how many times we've been over there at Gatlinburg and those people that's on them owners right there, you talk to them, yeah, we're saved, but you're just messing up our business. You're messing up our business. And then they'll say, you got to be on this side of the sidewalk. And then they'll call the police and say, we've been walking on the other side of the sidewalk. And we hadn't been. You mean they just lie? Yeah, they just lie. They just lie. They automatically think that their business is getting hurt. They automatically think people ain't coming in there. And they have no idea whether it changed or whether it didn't change. See, what is that? It's called Satan. And you'll see he's going to go all the way back through there. Anything you do for the Lord, you might as well get ready. You're going to face some opposition. Some of it comes from Satan. Some of it comes from people that's lost. And then some of it comes from people that's saved, that's just backslid, that's envious, like those brethren up there in verse 2 in Acts chapter 16. You say, what do? You do what Paul did. You carry on. You just carry on. And you stake it all at the judgment seat of Christ. And you got to sit there and say, one of these days, God's going to fix it all at the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll just sit back and we'll see if God's going to go by what he thinks or by what all the brethren think. And you know what? God's going to go by what he said right there. All right? All right. Let's go ahead and wrap it up right there, and we'll take up some prayer requests.